covetousness, which is also greed, which he says is idolatry. Now, these are not just outward actions. They're internal drives, right? Internal affections that pull us away from intimacy with God. What is Paul really saying? Earthly in you equals whatever in you that still operates like the old you instead of the new you, you in Christ. Anything, whatever in you still operating like the old you instead of the new you in Christ. So this connects directly to verse 3. Your life is hidden with God in Christ. So Paul's logic in this text is that you have a new identity. You need to claim that new identity. Not claim a new car, not claim a new job, not claim a new relationship, not claim something you want to achieve and accomplish, but claim what God has already did for you in Christ. But you still have old tendencies, right? Old propensities trying to operate at the same time as you're trying to operate by faith is operating by sin. And that there's a collision in you that takes place. I don't know about you, but in me, it's a collision between who I was and who I am. And that's a battle every day, isn't it? Especially when you're trying to live holy. When you're trying to live a set-apart life. When you're trying to live out your righteousness practically, right? When you're trying to be a witness with your lips, your life, and your love. And you will find that you're going to hit against that wall every time. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil, which are your enemies, don't want you to walk by the Spirit. They don't want you to express that new person that you are in Christ. They don't want you to talk new. They don't want you to feel new. They don't want you to think new. They want the same old reactions out of you. And you've got to die to yourself. Suppress that beast called the flesh that's inside of you, don't you? I don't know about you, but I do. Listen, beloved. Paul is not saying the material world is evil or your body is evil. That's not the earthly message. He is saying, don't let your life be controlled by flesh-driven, sin-centered desires. Because that's where the battle begins. The battle begins within, not without. You're not fighting your neighbor, you're fighting yourself. But you've got to do it in the power of the Spirit. And you've got to walk in alignment with the Word of God in order to overcome the flesh within so you can fight the world and the devil without. Right? So he is saying, don't let your life be controlled, influenced by flesh-driven, sin-centered desires. A simple way to understand this is the earthly in you, I'm going to say it again, is anything in your heart, mind, or behavior that does not reflect who you are in Christ, let it go. Let that thing go. On an emotional level, on an attitudinal level, on the levels of affections, on the level of actions, let it go. Putting to death what is earthly in you. How do we do this? Pastor, how do we do this? Teacher, preacher, help me out. I understand what you're saying, but how do I get to the end goal, which is Christ's likeness? Well, look at point A here. Don't, here it is, feed what God is calling you to do. I don't know if y'all can hear that. I feel it in my spirit, man. Isn't that rich? Don't feed what God is calling you to kill. Sometimes we keep feeding that flesh because we want to get revenge. We want to put somebody in their place. We want to tell them who we are. We need to tell them where to step. You feed in the flesh, and I feed in the spirit, man. Don't feed what God is calling you to kill.
Galatians 6:8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. It's going to be hard to kill it. Because in this life called discipleship, it's a sanctification process. Meaning, God has done all the heavy lifting, but he wants us to participate with him. And if I don't participate with him, I won't reap the benefits of that sanctified life. In other words, beloved, that's what you should do with your flesh every day. Start. Cut it off. Cut off that supply line. Like, you know, the Strait of Hormuz. Just cut it off. Don't let anybody cross. Don't let anybody sail. Keep it so locked down that it's going to bankrupt. It's going to implode because you took a stand. Don't feed it. Is that it? Don't revisit. God has already told us. Don't we do it? Lord, help us. He closed the door. We're going to open the door. Listen. Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting what lies behind and strain forward, press forward to what lies ahead. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's where your focus should be in this earth. To be focused on pleasing him, living for him, glorifying him, being a witness for him, doing what he would do if he was here in physical form. We are an extension of his life. It's not our life. It's his life lived out through us. And if we were to participate in this life-giving God's plan and mission for living in this life, we have to participate. We can't keep revisiting the closed doors. You know, the old wounds. Things that you say you've forgiven someone for, you haven't. You keep revisiting that thing. The brokenness. You keep going back to the brokenness. I know people been out of their situation for 10, 15 years. They're talking about it. I say, y'all don't want to be together. Y'all keep talking about this stuff you let go 5, 10 years ago. It's going to come back and destroy your relationship. Let it go. I don't say forget they did it. It says forgive them for what they do. Even God doesn't forget what you've done. He just don't hold it against you. And that's the key. When you forget, you don't hold it against them. You know what they've done, and you love them despite themselves. Now you're acting like God. Because God knows what we've done to his holiness and his righteousness. He knows what we did to his paradise. He knows what humanity has did to the image of God and man. And God is willing to forgive us, not hold it against us, and then give us love, grace, and mercy if we receive it by faith. That's how God wants us to live in relationship with one another. But we got to forget what lies behind. Isaiah 43:18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Because God is doing a new thing. Oh, that's a wonderful reality, beloved. God has already brought you out. You may feel that you're not out, but you are out. And you can't be controlled by your feelings. You can have them, praise God. But we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not sight. So God has already brought us out. We just don't. Everybody knows something about something, but very few believe what is real. But you keep going back in your mind to what God has already brought you out. Your habits and your desires, they creep in to control you. The way you act, the way you think, the way you feel. Here it is. Stop reopening doors that grace has already shut. Grace has shut a lot of doors. He extended a lot of mercy. God has to his mercy. Because of his great love toward us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, beloved. Don't be visited anymore. I'm trying to teach you how to align your identity in Christ with your identity. But you've got to participate. Preacher can't do this for you. The prayer team can't do this for you. The only intermediary is Christ himself. And he's already done it. He says, it is finished. Now you've got to walk out on that finished work. You're not living for victory. You're living from victory. He's already conquered sin, death, and the grave. He's an overcomer. That's why you're an overcomer. So don't revisit what God has already what? Closed. See, don't entertain what God has already crucified. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What are you talking about, the flesh? The person you used to be before regeneration, before conversion, before justification, before sanctification, before adoption. He's just telling you to die to yourself and walk with him daily. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. Follow me. I'll make a way out of no way. I'll deal with that thing that you can't deal with as you cast it on me. Because you know I care for you. Romans 6:6. Our old self was crucified with him. So why are you hosting what Jesus has already executed? Why are you giving room to what has already been nailed to the cross? Beloved, evict what doesn't belong in your new life. Evict it. Cancel it. Because it was canceled at Calvary. See, church, earthling in you is not your identity. It's a contradiction of your identity. So don't manage the flesh. Kill it. Don't excuse the flesh. Confront it. Execute it. Don't coexist with the flesh. Crucify it. So that means dying to you. In order for you to die to you. Because only you can give life to what you used to be. You can't blame people. Oh, see, now you're making me act like a fool. No. That's coming out of you. I didn't make you act any kind of way. You made a choice to react and respond to me foolishly. So that foolishness is in you. Well, you made me hit you. No, you chose to hit me because you couldn't deal with what I was saying to you. You got to leave that violence and domestic violence somewhere else. You see, the stuff that we respond to people with is already in us. It's called the flesh. The malice, the anger, the hatred is already in you. But it's not you. It's what you were redeemed from. I tell you, you got to pray about that. You got to ask God to renew your mind every moment. Help me to see myself as you see myself. Because I don't see myself the way God sees me all the time. I see myself the way I've been raised. My patterns, my habits, my desires. And I got to say no to that flesh and say yes to the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Church, earthly in you is not your identity. It's a contradiction of your identity in Christ. Because you can't fully live tend to internalize it, and once you internalize a behavior, you socialize. That's how you act. And then you try to tell yourself when you're older, well, you know, that's how the Russians are. No, that's not how I am. So if you got one that's different, then that's a lie, that's how the Russians are. All you got to do is get one person to mess up that whole ideology, right? That analysis is weak. Stop letting anger become your personality. Stop it. Stop letting sarcasm replace sanctification. Stop letting harsh speech represent your identity. Stop letting emotional reaction override your spiritual formation. See, the goal of your salvation is to make you look and live like Jesus. But I don't know what we think we're saved for. A Bentley? A big house? Beauty? Vacation? Oh, you're saved to be like him, beloved. Now, you can have all that if you work for it. But that's not the goal of the Christian life. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. That's Romans 8:29. That explains the good in verse 28. See, all things work together, synergize together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he said, the good, what's the good? Verse 29, that you men whom we predestined you foreknew to be conformed to the image of his dear son. It's right there. Christ is forming you inwardly, your outward expression must reflect it consistently. Not perfectly, but consistently. But Paul goes on even deeper. Man, I should end this right here. But Paul goes on even deeper. Now he deals with identity habits, the operating system of your life. Verse 3. Put off the old self. Not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. This is not just behavior correction. This is just not behavior modification. This is not just you doing better today than you did yesterday. Man, you Christians are something else. You know, I really feel good today about my Christian walk. What about the rest of your life? How do you feel about how you've been walking since this day? Don't define your Christian life by the day of you doing good. This is not just behavior correction. Here it is. It's identity deconstruction. That construct you have of yourself, break it up if it's not Jesus. If it's not holy, if it's not righteous, if it's not loving, if it's not forbearing, if it's not kindness, if it's not mercy, deconstruct the image of yourself. The old self is not just what you did. It is how you used to think, how you used to respond, how you interpret life. What lens do you interpret life through? Paul says you have already put off the old self, but now you must stop living as if you're still wearing the old self. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old thing passed. Well, if it says it's past. You knew. Men knew. That stuff you used to be has passed. You don't have to succumb to the patterns and habits and attitudes of your old self. That means the old identity is not your reference point anymore. When something happens and you react in a way that's ungodly, it's not Christ-like. Don't go back to your old reference point. Just say, fresh out the rest of your day. I'm going to get in my prayer closet. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to fight this evil that lives in me. And Paul said there's this law that's at work within the new person I am called the flesh. And he said, thanks be to God. I'm glad he said that. Romans 7:25. After he gives us this battle, this internal civil war, then he
Stop speaking from old limitations. Stop making decisions based on a past that Christ has already broken. So, but Paul never leaves you empty. He always replaces what he calls us to remove. That's point four. Put on, that's the word on, put on the new self daily. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. In the first Adam, we were created in the likeness and image of God, and we failed in chapter 3, and he represented humanity. So there was a glitch in the image called sin. But in Ephesians 4:24, it says, now put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, here it is, in true righteousness and holiness in Christ. That's what he's talking about, where this image lies. It lies in the God-man, the theanthropos, right? 100% man, 100% God. Divinity and humanity came into this world, tabernacle among us, full of grace and truth. He went to the cross to restore what the devil defaced and deformed and disfigured. That's the image of God in you and me. So when we become saved, we really experience a new creation, a new image-bearing process, where we're not what we were in the first Adam, we're brand new in the new Adam. It's a difference, beloved. It's not the same. It's a restored image of holiness and righteousness in Christ. This is not a one-time action. It is a daily posture of identity realignment. And Paul expands it in that verse by saying Christ is all in him. Christ is all and in all. To put on means to intentionally clothe yourself in Christ's given identity every day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for flesh. Galatians 5:16. Do not walk. If you walk after the Spirit, walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So you do it. You put on what you have. You work in what's been worked in you. It sounds like Philippians 2:13. God is at work in you, giving you the will and the desire to please him. And you be saying sometimes in your Christian journey, I don't have the will, I don't have the desire. Well, it ain't up to you. It's up to him working through you and you working with him. And he will give you the will. And he will give you the ability to please him. That means Christ is not just your Savior. He is your Lord. You wearing him. You got to represent who you wear. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning you choose what you wear, don't you? Not because you question your identity, but because you want to express yourself. Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you put on that color? Why do you put on those shoes? Because you're expressing him. When we put on Christ, we're expressing him. And it comes out in what we say and how we respond and how we live and how we act and how we be. You don't ask the question in the morning when you get dressed, am I a professional? No, you just dress like a professional. If you're a Christian, dress like a Christian. And the same way, you don't wake up trying to become a new creation. No, you dress yourself in what God has already made you.
to put on patience when frustration grows, and I know it grows in our lives as fallen human beings, but we're redeemed saints. Oh, I love that. And we put on Christ when your flesh wants to react. You are not becoming Christ-like, beloved. You are learning how to consistently express what God has already placed in you, which is Christ-likeness. So, church, Paul is not describing four separate actions. He is describing one continuous process. Remove what is dead. Relocate what misrepresents you. Reject what no longer defines you. Replace it with what reflects Christ. Because identity in Christ is not just received, it is lived in alignment. Paul says, kill it, strip it, stop it, and replace it. That's what he's saying in this text. Kill it, strip it, stop it, replace it. Kill it means to put it to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Strip it, take off attitudes and behaviors that don't fit your identity any longer. Stop it. Refuse sinful patterns and speech and conduct. Replace it. Put on the new self. Renewed in the image of Christ. You are not becoming someone new. You're removing what no longer belongs. So don't manage sin. What you do with sin? End it. Don't dress up the old self. Take it off. Don't excuse it. Shut it down.